And in studio now, I have Councillor, Sinn Féin Councillor Paul Donnelly. And we're going to talk about the situation in Tyrrell Sound. Hello, Paul. How are you?
Good morning.
Okay, you were at the meeting last night. Can you tell us what happened there?
Yeah, I suppose I called a meeting because last Sunday we had got word from a couple of residents up in Tyrrell Sound to say that they had been issued with notice to quits or termination of their leases. And we then sort of very quickly discovered that it wasn't just one or two or three. There were dozens of people who had got these notice to quits. So we knocked on a few doors and we got a bit more information in relation to it. And, you know, from our figures, there was upwards of between 40 and 60 people who had been issued notice to quits by the one company called Twinlight Management Company, who were the original developers of the Tyrrell Town Estate, which is on the northern end of Blanchardstown. Mm-hmm. The property is about 2,500 houses that they had built, and also a town centre. I suppose it developed very, very quickly from there. We did a lot of investigations ourselves, and we sort of hit a couple of brick walls. And I made contact with a Sunday Business journalist who would, I suppose, have more insight, more knowledge in how to get to the back of this and the, you know, the backstory and the bottom of this. So we worked with together for about 3 to 4 days, and then obviously it broke on Sunday in the
this,
Sunday
has this just to clarify two things about that, is because you talked about journalists there in the paper, one of them 200 houses. It's not 200, it's around 102 or 3, isn't it?
Well, This is where the confusion, this is where I suppose sometimes statistics and damn lies. Mm-hmm. We don't know exactly how many, because a lot of these deals that are done, and I'll just give you the backstory just to try and give you an understanding and the listeners an understanding. Ulster Bank had the loans for Twinlight. They sold those loans to Goldman Sachs. Now, Goldman Sachs then took over the control of those loans. And what we can understand from this deal that was done, that part of the restructuring of these loans from Goldman Sachs was that the residential properties, which we have a list of 208 properties that were sold in this deal called Project Ackle. Now, Tyrrell Sound was a small element of this Project Ackle deal with Goldman Sachs and Ulster Bank. Mm-hmm. And then there was a refinancing of the commercial properties and the land banks. And the land banks and the commercial properties would revert to Twinlight and also a group called European Property Fund, which is backed by Davie Stockbrokers. Mm-hmm. And then Goldman Sachs would exit the deal, that they would have got their whatever percentage that they were happy enough to get in terms of profit of that deal, they would exit, and then Twinlight would have the commercial properties and the land banks, and those commercial properties would be sold. So the 208 figure comes from that original deal of Goldman Sachs and Ulster Bank. Okay. And we have a list of every single one of those properties.
Okay. Just to point out as well that there's nothing illegal.
Absolutely not.
The problem, I think, here is with legislation. We need strong legislation.
Of course, and we've said that all along. What Twinlight are doing is completely legal. They've obviously, you know, looked at the legislation, and they are terminating the leases of the people who are in those properties, the 40 that they claim, who they've already issued notice to quits. I suppose for us and for the people who are living in those houses, even though it's completely and utterly legal, those people are facing homelessness, because we did a search on daft.ie yesterday, and in Blanchardstown there wasn't a single property to rent, not one. The search came up zero. So unfortunately for those people, although it's a legal, you know, completely legal situation that Twinlight are doing, morally I think they have a responsibility to those tenants. Mm-hmm. And bear in mind, one of the people at that meeting last night had paid Twinlight in rent over €100,000 since they moved into Tyrrell Sound. So there must be some moral obligation for Twinlight to ensure, and one of the things we have asked Twinlight to give a written assurance to people that they would not evict, or they would not force the people out of those homes until they had alternative accommodation. Mm-hmm. It's a very simple request.
Well, two things about that. They said they were going to do that. The spokesperson said they were going to do that. They also said that they were going to offer the option to buy. A lot of people that want to say that they were going to option to buy, but they, at the end of the day, they said they're not a charity. They are in business to make money. It's the first time that this came about. Is it only in the past 2 weeks since the notices went out to the people? Or was any hint of it at all?
11 days, 12 days.
Is that all?
Absolutely, yeah.
So there was no hint of any of this at all?
No. Look, when Twinlight, I mean, obviously, I've read the statements and I listened to Rick Larkin on the Joe Duffy show yesterday. In fact, I was on the other line and unfortunately couldn't get through to talk to Rick Larkin about this. Look, again, I agree. Everything he's doing is completely legal.
But do you believe when he says about the selling of the houses and giving people time?
Well, we had, as I said, we had a public meeting last night and we had one person. There's been no official offer to anybody to buy the house. There's no piece of paper that says we'll enter negotiation in to buy those houses. There was one person who said that there was an offer that they made to them after they had asked a question. But the offer was a ridiculous price because I think the offer was around €220,000. You would not buy a house in Tyrrellstown for €220,000. They're going for around €160,000, €180,000. So they're not realistic, I don't believe, in an offer for people to
when
buy
you
those
say
homes.
€160,000, €180,000 are going for.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that sounds cheap compared to inside Dublin.
Well, it is. You know, again, that's that.
I'm not saying
back,
that. I mean,
yeah, we're going back, and again,
what you need for
it could
for
have it could have risen. It could be up around the 200,000, 220,000. Yeah. You know, again, we have a new estate that's been built just on the outskirts of Tyrrellstown. So you know, there's housing just on the other end, the southern part of Ongar, which is going for around
240. Can I ask you to paint a picture? There's been a bit of controversy as well about the area. What sort of development has come about in the area? Amenities, social amenities?
It's taken an awful long time and it's been a battle a day for the residents, whether it be schools, the park, community facilities, everything has been an absolute battle. It took a good number of years, as in very much the Celtic Tiger, the houses came first and the services came much, much, much later. So we do have two new schools, we do have a new community centre, we have another two new schools, a Gael school and an Educate Together being built as we speak. And the park, which is the long promised park, is under development as we speak, but won't be actually in play for the football pitches, certainly not until another 2 years, because they've only been laid in the last couple of weeks. The playground and other parts of that park hopefully will be in place this year, but bear in mind this estate now is 10 years old.
Okay.
And they've had to struggle every single step of the way to try and get the facilities that they require.
Okay, and because a lot of people now, I mean, people are sort of coming around to the stage where, I mean, people always wanted to own their own homes in Ireland. That was a part of other parts of Europe and America and all like that. People sort of just rent for the rest of their lives. So people are in that way, but this is sort of going completely against everything that, even if they're settled into that, okay, we're going to be renting for the rest of our lives. But this makes it very precarious now, doesn't it?
Well, look, we don't have the protections. We don't have the rent certainty. We don't have rent linked to inflation or any of those protections that people would have across Europe and certain places, parts of America. What we have is an absolute free market system, virtually unregulated free market system. The protections that people have in terms of rent and threats from eviction are very limited. They're limited to four things. One is non-payment of rent. One is antisocial behaviour. One is that a family member or the person wants to move back into the house. Okay? And they're selling. And the other one is that they're selling the house, then they're selling the property. Now, that gives absolutely no certainty to a person who wants to rent. So we're talking about creating a market out there where people would feel secure. And you talk about Irish people wanting to buy houses. Of course they want to buy houses because then they have certainty for themselves that as long as they can pay the mortgage, they have a roof over their head. What we have found and what we see now is that, you know, a vulture capitalist group can come in, they can buy a large number of properties from whatever portfolio, from whether it be NAMA or whether it be any of the banks.
Is it not a worldwide problem now, though? Or is there legislation that protects people?
Well, there is legislation. That's, I mean, again, I was talking to a German resident who was working, who was in one of those properties, and she's advising people in her homeland, her friends and people that she would know, not to come to Ireland. Don't come to work in the PayPals and the Googles and the Facebooks that need those language skills, because it's too expensive to rent a property here. And
No, I'm not talking about the expense, though. I'm talking about the legislation that you would need to protect people, because even being the devil's advocate now, but even people that own the properties, surely they have the right to say when they want to sell them, even if it's one house, they get fed up, they're sick of the rental market, maybe they've had problems. So what sort of balanced legislation can you put in that satisfies everybody?
Of course, and I think, look, when you look at the European rental market and you look at the Irish rental market, it is two completely different markets. The people who invest in rental properties in Europe, it's a long-term business plan. It's a long-term strategy that they have. So people go in to rent properties as a business. What we have here in Ireland is a hang-up from the Celtic Tiger, where people got loans upon loans upon loans to buy one, two, three, four properties. Some of them are accidental landlords. People ended up having a property, going to another one, keeping it, and then ending up in a circumstance that they'd never really expected or really understood what they were getting involved in. So we need to move away from this accidental landlord type situation where people have one or two, three properties, and get people in who understand what the rental market is and how to regulate the you know, and again, obviously we need to regulate the market from a legislative point of view. But let's take, for instance, an apartment block. If you have an apartment block in Europe, then what you have in that is you have a foyer, you have sections on the at the bottom of the apartment block where people can put a little, you know, shed. I remember back, I was from Sheriff Street originally, and you would have had your pram sheds in the middle, you know, of the courtyard. What we have in terms of the apartment blocks that are built here are just, you know, they're just flats. They're just apartments that are built, very small apartments that are built, and there's no sense of an attempt to be able to build a community. And that's the difference. That's what we need to move away from.
Well, I'm smiling now. I'm really smiling now because when you mentioned the flats and the pram sheds, because it's a whole different argument, so I'm not going to get into it. But I've just noticed myself from going around that a lot of the pram sheds are gone now.
So a lot of the flats are gone now.
Well, no, there's still a lot of flats. I mean, if you go up around, especially around Ringsend and in through Ballybock, but I'm just saying the pram sheds are gone, so they're sort of getting rid of all these things anyway. I noticed as well at the meeting last night, Threshold was there, and 18 there. Very, very strong for Threshold to come out with some of the statements coming out with now.
It was actually, and I think that it's coming from the top down. I think it's the chief executive or the chairperson of it came out yesterday and said, for the first time, that she, you know, she was an advocate of ensuring that people kept to the legislation and kept to the law. But she says in these circumstances, she felt that if a person didn't have alternative accommodation, that that they should stay in the home until they find that alternative accommodation, and they should resist any attempt to move out or be forced to move out. So I think, look, I think there's a really, really strong recognition that we are in the middle of a housing crisis. I think anybody who's working on the front line will recognise that this is critical. This is an absolute crisis, and we need to deal with it in terms of a crisis, not a normal rental market.
Yeah, before this situation arose, there was a crisis anyway. But and so, I mean, it's going to take a while. It's, if it happens at all, I mean, the way the government, the laxity which they're forming the government at the moment, it's not going to solve it now. So what could the government, do you think, do as an immediate solution?
I think the immediate thing is we need to stop the evictions. So there are an awful lot of properties. I think there are 13,000 properties that are in this buy-to-let scheme or system that the banks are in distressed mortgages. I think we need to give assurances to those 13,000 tenants who are sitting there today who are at risk of the banks repossessing those and then, you know, asking them to leave and sell them, because the banks are not going to be renters. They're not going to be a property management company. They want vacant tenancies and they want people out to sell them. So we need to reassure them that because we're in the middle of this housing crisis, that that will not happen. That the banks will not force people out of those current buy-to-lets that are in distress. We also need to put in legislation, and Threshold have published legislation and sent it into the department in around exactly what we're talking about here in Tyrrellstown, mm-hmm. which gives the tenants a security in terms of their position within that tenancy. There needs to be stronger legislation to protect tenants from situations like this. And unfortunately, there isn't. And we've seen that there isn't. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. I was talking to David Hall of the IMHO, and he said there are upwards of 50,000 properties who are in the hands of vulture groups like this, vulture funds. Mm-hmm. And that's a scary thought. We're talking in Tyrrellstown of, as we say, 100, 200, we don't know the exact figure. But if we're talking about upwards of 50,000 properties, that is a tsunami coming towards us.
I was going to ask you there when you were talking, have they tried to, say, increase the rents before these notices were sent out? Would you know that?
They have.
Every
single tenant who's coming to us has said that they have increased the rents from approximately €200 over the last two to three years. In around that figure.
Okay.
This is not about, bear in mind, this is not about rent. This is not about...
Oh, I know that. Yeah, no, I was just wondering why all of a sudden they sort of saying, well, okay, we're putting up the rent, and people say, now, hold on, it's just gone a bit too far now. And they maybe had discussions about it, and they said, well, look, we'd sell them, we're having too much hassle.
No, and people have offered to pay extra rent.
Okay.
And they've refused. They want vacant possession.
So they just want them off their books.
Yeah.
And that's it. And you can see that this is just a small part of what's going to happen in the future.
Well, if the figures are correct, and as I say, I've no reason to dispute the figures, I think it's an absolute tsunami coming down. We've got upwards of 50,000 properties.
If I'm not mistaken, I think the first is due in May sometime. That's not too far away, 6 or 8 weeks. So what protection can they have themselves? If they stay together as a group, great. Mm-hmm. And people power is wonderful. But if people are singled out on their own, say in the 4 week of May, what procedures? Is it the same as any eviction?
It is the same. And again, this was explained by Thresholds last night. And the advice that we've been giving to people is, if you don't have that alternative accommodation, don't move. What will happen then is that the landlord has an option of going to the PRTB. If they're successful within the PRTB, then they must go to the Circuit Court to get an order for the sheriff to enforce that notice. So that could take anything up to 3 to 4 months.
And what can the PRTB do, for instance?
Well, the PRTB are the people who are responsible for the tenant and landlord relationship.
Okay. But they just want people out of the houses. So, I mean, there's no grounds for negotiation.
Absolutely. The landlord will have to. I mean, if a person refuses to leave because they haven't got alternative accommodation, then the landlord's only option is to go to the PRTB and to get an enforcement against the tenant, the sitting tenant. Then once they get that, then they have to go to the Circuit Court to apply to the sheriff to enforce that order. So from what the Threshold were saying last night is that can take anything up to 3 to 4 to 5 to 6 months. So what it does do, it'll actually buy people time to try and find their alternative accommodation.
Mm-hmm. Well, the strange thing, the chap's name you were talking about was Joe Duffy. He was saying that they were going to give people as much time as they needed. But there's nothing out there that's even sort of remotely resembles a rent, even though it is expensive. I mean, I've heard quotes of, I don't know, I couldn't believe it now. I don't know how exaggerated. 3,000 a month in some places.
I'm sure there is properies for rent for 3,000
euros in Dalkey.
But look, I live in Clonsilla, and there's a property literally a stone's throw away from me, a four-bedroom property for 2,000 euro. I know that one person in Tyrrellstown has secured property in town. It's a four-bedroom for €2,200. So that's the type of rent. Anything between €1,500 and €2,000 for a 3 and 4-bedroom house. But the problem is, and you know, a friend of mine just rang me there just 2 nights ago, and he lives down in Ongar. And he's recently moved down there. And he was flabbergasted to open his door to see 40 people queuing up next door to look at a property for rent, and that was before the auctioneer had got down to the apartment.
Well, unfortunately, what started all this off back in the, I hate the term Celtic Tiger, I mean, people were queuing up buying off the plans and stuff like that. Yeah. And the government's reaction, I just quoted here, for instance, Pascal Dunne, who said, how blatantly understated is this? It's unfair. And Alan Kelly said, it's a bit harsh. I mean, how understated is that? Is that the reaction you're getting from people? Is that the people is getting from the government at the moment? It's unfair and it's just harsh.
To be honest with you, I think what I find most nauseating is that they're running around trying to put a government together, and yet the daily lives of people are continuing, the struggles are continuing, and there's not a single word from any of the establishment politicians to say that they're going to deal with this as an emergency. And I sometimes you're thinking back and going, you know, are we sort of exaggerating this? Are we over-egging this when we call it a crisis? And I think when you've got a family, and it really struck me yesterday, when you've got a family who has to go to a local community centre to celebrate their child's birthday because they're living in a hotel two bus rides away. Mm-hmm. So to get their friends to a birthday party, to celebrate a birthday party, they have to go to the local resource centre to rent out a room. I just think that's quite sad.
Some of the stories, are heartbreaking. I listen to some of them in Tyrrelstown at the moment, people with children.
But can I just say one
only
thing?
Getting
when
the
I talk
services.
About, yeah, absolutely. Can I say about a crisis? I remember when we had the foot and mouth disease, the foot and mouth crisis. And this country shut down overnight, and they closed the border, and people were coming through airports and having to step into to buckets and do all this. The amount of resources that were put in to tackle that particular crisis. So when we want to do something, we can. When there's the political will to do something, we can. And unfortunately and sadly, I think the only way that this will be dealt with is when the likes of the Facebooks and the Googles and the PayPals tell a Minister for Enterprise or Minister for Jobs, we're not bringing those 1,000 jobs that we promised to Ireland because we will have nowhere for people to live. Then I believe they will deal with this as a crisis. And I think it's a sad, sad indictment that the most vulnerable in our society have been ignored for the last 4 to 6 years.
I don't think there'll be much done about it until they sorted out what sort of government we're going to have in the future as well. But as you were saying, would you know, for instance, I doubt if you would, but I'll ask it anyway, would you know if people offered over the 10 years to buy the houses, and did they ask, could they buy the houses, and what sort of reaction they got?
I don't know that, and yeah, I'm just wondering.
Because I know they do.
Yeah, but look, at the end of the day, these people are renting for a particular reason. You know, when you look at the mortgage rules that are in place now, it is actually quite difficult to buy a house. And I'll give you an example. There was a guy who was given mortgage approval, and he got a loan off his parents to put the deposit up front. And he went to the banks and he said, you know, there's my deposit, there's my loan approval, I want to buy this house. And they came back and they said, you actually haven't proven that you could sustain a mortgage by saving the deposit. And he said, how can I do that when I'm paying €1,300 per month?
It's a catch-22, yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot of people who are currently renting who want to buy but can't.
And there's just another thing I'd have to pull you up on, because as you said, I wanted to say it, but I'll just do it anyway. For those people that are renting for years and years and years, there are people out there, it's 20, 30 years married, who just choose to live and rent it.
Yeah.
So when you were sort of saying that people have maybe paid €100,000 in so many years. I mean, there's thousands doing it. So
yeah, there is. Yeah.
And they choose to do that.
Oh, that's fine. Okay. If you choose to do that, I have absolutely no problem with
that. So you can't sort of say morally they should be entitled.
Well, it's not an entitlement. We're not talking about an entitlement to stay in that house. What we're saying is that if they cannot find alternative accommodation, then there is a moral responsibility on the property developer.
Show some respect.
Not to put them out in the streets. They've happily taken that €100,000 for the last 6 or 7 years. Give these people a bit more time and give them that respect.
Okay, well, what conclusions did you come to at the end of the meeting to the extent of protection for the people in the area?
I suppose obviously we've been trying to contact Twin Light. I tried a couple of times last night. I'm going to send them an email today to, if they will respond through an email, to give them that written assurance, because I've listened to the Joe Duffy show, as I said, mm-hmm. I was on the other line, and I thought it was a very wishy-washy type assurance that they were giving to people. We want a firm written commitment to each one of those tenants.
Well, it's noted. I mean, to me, what can be said on radio and can be picked up anywhere to the extent of the podcast and that, I mean, to me, that's verbatim. So, I mean, he can't go back on what he said on radio, can he?
Well, of course they can. This is not, you know, as I said, this is not a written commitment.
It's not
they
legal.
They haven't said to either any of those tenants today, as far as I know, and they didn't certainly say it yesterday or the day before, don't worry about it. If you can't find alternative accommodation, you can stay in that property until you find alternative accommodation. They haven't said that.
Okay.
I don't know whether that was an off-the-cuff remark that was said yesterday. I have to listen back to it again carefully.
Maybe we'll give them a ring ourselves and see what they have to say.
Good luck. I think there's an awful lot of people trying to get them.
Okay, sorry I interrupt you. What do you think is going to happen now in the future?
Yeah, look, we're organising. Again, there's the local context of all of this and the individual families who are involved in this, but there's also the wider legislative and national context. And we have a meeting on Friday in the local National Educate Together National School at 7 p.m. to bring together a group to try and put an action group together to deal with this individual problem, but also to look at it in a national context, because we, as I said, we know that there are tens of thousands of other families who are going to be facing this situation in the coming months and years. And we have David Hall is going to come out, and we're hoping to get on a couple of speakers as well and see if we can put together a campaign, first of all to try and help these individual families in Tyrrelstown, but also We need to bring this further. We need to force every single one of those political parties and particularly the ones who are going to form the next government to commit to introducing strong legislation to protect tenants from this situation.
It's much needed. Can I ask you, do you think a lot of people living in situations like in Tyrrell, do they know where they're living and who owns the houses and that? Because I'm wondering if you think it's that's what I'm worried about, that if it's so widespread that maybe people will start to look now, and you'll probably have, as you said yourself, a tsunami now, people coming forward worried about what their situation is.
It's interesting. When I started this sort of journey last Sunday, and you started to look into some of the deals that have been done, I mean, they're enormous. You're talking about, you know, billions have been spent by vulture funds over the last 7 or 8 years, whether it be NAMA or whether it be deals done with, you know, private banks. And I would say people haven't got a clue. They have a property management company, but they're not the owners of that property. They would be the vulture funds, so they're managing it on behalf of vulture funds. So I would suggest that there's an awful lot of people out there who are renting properties who haven't got an idea that a Goldman Sachs or a Lone Star or European Property Fund, all of these groups, and sometimes, you know, these can change. They've a lot of companies and subsidiaries of subsidiaries. So trying to find it's an extremely difficult task to try and wade your way, and particularly as the person who's coming out fresh from this, it's extremely difficult to wade your way through all of the different myriads of companies that they're involved in.
Okay, well, you'll keep us informed, Paul, anyway, on how things develop.
Absolutely,
out in Tyrrelstown, and I hope things do work out for the people out there. And we will try and get in touch with that company ourselves and see what they have to say.
Absolutely.
So, in the meantime, thank you very much. And that is Sinn Féin Councillor Paul Donnelly. Thanks very much, Paul.
You're very welcome.